What's up, everybody? This is Moonshine Shotgun Mulligan Podcast. Sitting here with your boy, always CC Stats. What's up, brother? How we doing?
Doing good, man. Doing good. Just middle of the week. Nice evening. It's actually went from 60 degrees to about 30 outside in about 2.5 hours. So it's a little chilly out.
It's getting a little nippy, but man, it's getting me a little excited about golf weather, dude. Your boy put up the net in the garage.
Nice.
It's time, man. Oh, we parked the car in the garage for, you know, like a month here and there. The car wasn't in there enough and it got a little warm and your boy put it back up with the putting green, and me and the little guy were out there hitting balls the last few nights. So
do you have a specific golf net?
Yeah, man. It's one off Amazon. I couldn't tell you the brand, but I got the big ceiling, you know, it's about, you know, 12-foot ceiling garage, you know, so we got plenty of room, bro.
Your boy ain't got no garage, but maybe what I'll do is I'll buy one. I got a little mat already. I can have Jackson hitting off a tee on into one net, and I can hit golf balls in the other. And then we can switch.
Exactly. Just put it in a way where you can't put one in your neighbor's window, and you'll be good.
We'll be good.
Just aim at your house. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
So a lot of stuff going on with golf, man. It just blew up literally in the last couple of days. Mainly because your boy Taylor Gooch comes on here, and I haven't listened to the interview because people are hitting me up, you know, from the other side saying, "Hey, man, you haven't listened to the interview. The guy pinholed him comment." But my thing is, you got to be more. What I respond is you got to be more media savvy. If someone's pinholing you in something like that, he didn't have to agree or whatever. You know,
he could have answered it however he wanted to, but I mean, Rory, how he feels, right? Rory said exactly what you said. He kind of got baited into answering the question that certain way. But even Rory said, he goes, the Masters is an invitational tournament. They can do whatever the hell they want.
Right.
And and I sent you this clip and I posted it. Joaquin Niemann said after he won in Mexico on LIV, he goes, I'm not in any of the majors. And he was disappointed. And he went out and he played good in Dubai, played good in Oman, won the Australian Masters. And you know what they said? We're going to reward you for playing your ass off.
Right. Here's Taylor your invitation.
Gooch, Taylor Gooch, you played good 4 times last year in 3-round tournaments.
Right. And my rebuttal is to it that posted just recently was not just the guy that edited the Wikipedia that put the asterisk next to ones that Rory wasn't in, was his major championship record. So pretty mm-hmm. much all the guys that are in the Masters that are on LIV have had successful major championships. They've won a major. They've won the Masters, or they've been, I guess there's probably top five or whatever to get you kind of clearance into the Masters, I assume, for a couple of years, those kind of things, because you got some other guys that haven't won, but have had some good finishes, or you got Bryson DeChambeau that won the US Open. So that gets him probably a certain amount of years into the Masters, but you just go diving into this. So he had a chance. So say for like 2022 and 2023 was when he was kind of new, upcoming on the tour, a new star-ish. I mean, I don't know what you call it, but when he only won one tournament, he won a lot he was doing really well early in the year of a lot of them. He gets the big events on the PGA Tour and fell off. I remember you with DK when I was betting on him a lot. Because of his success early in some of the seasons, he got into the bigger events and he failed. Mm-hmm. So you go with his major championship record. So 2022, T14 Masters, okay, touche, top 20. But then it goes T20, the PGA Championship, cut at the US Open. The Open Championship, T34. You go 2023 Masters Tournament, T34 out of a very limited field. You know, that's not a great finish of the Masters. PGA Championship, cut. Doesn't make it into US Open. Did he try to get into the US Open? Could he have tried to qualify, right?
Last year?
Yeah, through local qualifiers.
Mm-hmm.
He just wanted an invite because he's Taylor Gooch and he thinks the money's going to his head and that he should get invited. He didn't. But the Open Championship he was in, cut. So it's just like, play better, bro. And like, if you want in, play fucking better, dude, or find an Asian tour events like all these other guys that are grinding, that are trying to get their official world golf rankings, because they weren't promised to you, dude. Like, I don't agree with the official world golf ranking stuff, because right. obviously it's not correct on the rankings right now with the current situation. But that being said, you got to work with what you agreed to, and you mm-hmm. agreed to have the money. And I'm tired of these fucking country club kids running golf, dude. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of it. Dude.
Well, I agree with you.
Driving me nuts.
He could
like we need more of the freaking Tony Finaus, the Jake Knapps, like just good home, like people that care about playing golf, that want to get better. The guys that we've had on the podcast, the young guys trying to fight to make a name of themselves on the PGA Tour. The money is getting to these dudes' heads, man. Like, you're not that good. Like, you won three live events, cool. That's an accomplishment. But, like, pony up and play better in the fucking majors, you bitch. Like, come on. Like, it's ridiculous.
Moonshine said he was coming in with some ammo tonight. Take a sip there. Look, I think I was with you. Like, I was riding Taylor Gooch hot 2 years ago. And you said he was T14 in the Masters in 2022. Cool. Like that gets you another invite to the following year. So you played that well, then you should. And I'm not saying the Masters is different every year, but you got to play. Like if you only played well in certain events and then you chose to go to live, I agree with you. Like he could have pulled and said, you know what? Maybe I need to go play in the Australian Masters. Maybe I need to go here. Maybe where I can get some world ranking points.
Right.
Because if they go to those events, they can get world ranking points.
Correct? Exactly. Yeah, they can. Asian Tour, or if they get the sponsors right. invite to some of these other DP World Tour events, like all the other guys that really want to get in the majors, like your Joaquin Niemans are doing. But like he's not doing that because he thinks he's too good, I guess.
And I don't know if Taylor Gooch is a country club kid or not. So that's a disclaimer there. I have no idea, but I agree with you. Like,
I mean, most of them are, I'm going to like,
yeah, no, I
assume, but
I just feel like, and I do like what Rory said. Rory came out and said, look, Joaquin wasn't in. He went to all these tournaments. It's an invite tournament. Boom. They invited him. Taylor Gooch, you really don't have a leg to stand on, which is exactly what you're saying. And, you know, I might have a little bit more sympathy for him if he'd been on the tour 5, 6, 7 years.
Right. No, that'd make a difference.
I think that would make it would hold a little weight, but you played a year and a half, 2 years.
Well, it's just some of the things he's saying is just, that's why it's eating at me so much. Cause I try not to, coming from our position, we're, you know, kind of golf media, enjoying getting into this stuff. We're everyday golfers, but I love analyzing some of the stuff, just like the stupid folks that will listen to this or see my like posts and they're like, hey, you know, you're a 10 handicap or you're a fucking 15. What are you talking shit about Taylor Gooch that's crushing it? This is the way I'm looking at it from like a person, from a guy that loves golf. And he just coming at it from the wrong angle. The guy mm-hmm. to be humble about he's a good golfer. He's talented. He's young, but he's not doing the things that the other guys have to work around it. I mean, if you can't get official world golf rankings at LIV, you can't just accept a handout. Like it's that generation. Like here, do you want a handout to the Masters? Like, here you go, Taylor. Here's your invitation to the Masters because you are one of the top 30 guys in the world. Theoretically, which he is. Do I want him in the Masters? Sure. Like that would, he probably deserves to be in the Masters, but he doesn't deserve a handout. Like if that's not the criteria to get in the fucking Masters, then go grind like any of these other guys. Joaquin was like pleading when he was upset while he wasn't in. He went to the Australian Open. He's playing the Asian Tour events like some of these other guys trying to get world golf rankings because they can get it through those. Not mm-hmm. a great amount, but they get some. And it's just a bunch of whining, man. It's just like, I can't stand the whining.
I think, and I didn't hear the interview. I saw an interview today on an Instagram podcast. I'm not going to talk about the podcast. I don't know much about it. And I don't know, maybe that was the interview. I'm not sure, but... And I didn't hear. Did he complain about him not making it in the Masters? Did he say anything?
I don't know. All okay. I was hearing was the
him chirp about Rory.
the comment that where the best he tripped Rory,
the best players in the world. And do I feel like he's one of the best players in the world? I would say he's probably top 50 in the world. I wouldn't give him top 30.
Right.
Because I feel like last year come August, he was probably top 30, but he hasn't played like it lately. He'd maybe top 40, whatever. And I'm not saying if he's in the Masters field, then you take the asterisks off Rory. I think it's a fair question, but I don't think you need to say the asterisks comment.
Right. Well, it's just like, what have you done in the majors, bro? But like then, he's had 2 years in the majors to show that he is a world-class talent. And we've always talked on this podcast that it's a combination of your success on the PGA Tour, but obviously your major championships. I mean, when you go into the true greats of the game, like there's a lot of Hall of Famers that had great PGA Tour careers. Your Vijay Singhs, your Ernie Els's, your all these people. But who do you think about is the guys that did it in the majors? Your Jacks, your Tigers, your Arnie's, those kind of people. You know, your Brooks Koepka's now, the people that have actually won some major championships. Your John Rahm's now, so it's like these guys that are actually not only crushing all these events and being top in the world, in recognition and finishes and all these very competitive events, but it's when the toughest competition was out there for you, you didn't succeed in the couple years. And sure, like maybe if he had a chance this year, he'd go top 10 or something. Sure. Like he has the talent to do that, but he had a couple shots and he didn't succeed. So like he had 8 or 7 shots in the last 2 years and he didn't put together a top 10. Like, I mean, it's just like, you can't be arguing against Rory that sure, he hasn't won a major in so many years, but like his pedigree, he's won a lot of majors. You haven't won shit, bro. Like you've won a couple live events and you've won one fucking PGA Tour event. Anthony Kim, that hasn't played in 12 fucking years, has won more than Taylor Gooch has. Like, it's just...
We'll get to that in a second.
It's driving me nuts, dude.
We'll get to that in a second. So let's.
I don't care about, like... I'd love to talk to someone like him and get his point of view, but I just can read it. And when I read it and I read bullshit, I can't hold back on it, bro. That's what it's like when I read bullshit with Phil, I said the way I felt about it. When I read bullshit with Taylor Gooch, I'm going to say it. Do I know these guys personally? No, but I'm going to just tell it how it is because I don't give a shit, bro.
All right. So he's saying that the best players in the world aren't playing in the Masters. So let's look at the LIV roster and see who's playing in the Masters. All right. Abe Anser, I don't think so. Those two aren't. Casey, nope. Bryson DeChambeau probably will be in the Masters. Maybe.
He's maybe in, not. I think. Yeah, no, he's in. Okay. Yeah. Sergio's U.S. Open win. I think that gives you like 5 years or something.
Sergio's in. Sergio won the Masters, yes? No.
Yep. Sergio won once.
Sergio's in. Gooch, nope.
Phil's in.
Tyrrell Hatton, probably not.
No, Tyrrell's in. It's what I heard from today. So okay. The people that aren't in that I heard from today are him, that are controversial, him and a Louis Oosthuizen.
Okay.
So like Louis's great player, sure, he should be in the field, but man, it's just driving me nuts, man. Cause like who are we missing other than that's what everyone's argument is, bro. Like who are we missing?
Let me roll through this some more. DJ in. Keimer, nope, probably not in. Anthony Kim's not in. Brooks Koepka in. Kokrak, maybe, maybe not. I mean, Leishman, no, unless he was in the top 15 last year. Maronk, possibly. And I have the master list pulled up. Phil, yes. Neiman, yes. Kevin Na, no. Ogletree, no. Oosthuizen should be. They're not. I think this decision has backfired because he's played like dog shit over the last year and a half.
Who's that?
Mito Pereira.
Yeah.
No, no, no. I'm saying he was on top of the world on the PGA Tour. He struggled. He had that downfall at the PGA Championship when JT won. Was playing well, made the decision, jumped, and he hasn't played worth a damn.
Yeah, he's a bum, dude.
Tomas Peters, Probably not. Poulter, no. Rahm, yes. Reed, yes. Schwartzel, yes. Cam Smith, yes.
Hatton's in because 2023 Tour Championship qualifiers are in.
Okay.
So you got Tyrrell Hatton in that mix. That's the only one off the list. Keep going.
Let's see. We're getting near the bottom here. Uline, Varner, no. Those two, Vincent's are not. Bubba's in. Westwood, probably not. Matty Wolf. So out of all those guys, the guys that I talked about were all probably inside the top 30 when they went to live.
Yes. Yeah, Marunk's in. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's Louis Oosthuizen and Taylor Gooch. Like Kevin Na might not be in, but you know, I was there last year, and all due respect, he's just not
he was sick
high up
too.
On that. Yeah, he was sick. They got who they need on the tournament. I mean, like what, they're missing two players. It's ridiculous, dude. He needs to be careful. So say if I'm getting all heated about it, but say he made a mistake in the media and he did get pinholed and he said a wrong statement, like just
clarify it.
Yeah. Or like but the thing is that I don't trust him because then last year on LIV, he wins one event and he's like, man, there's never been experience like this here than even any Ryder Cup. And DJ literally couldn't look him in the face because he's like, you're a fucking idiot. Like, you haven't played in a damn Ryder Cup, so you don't know the energy in that place.
Shane Bacon said it the best. Obviously, like other people, Shane Bacon said it like this. He said, well, I guess we got to put asterisks by Tiger Woods 1997 and 2000 Masters because Taylor Gooch wasn't in the field. Kudos to Shane Bacon.
I like that.
That was a good comeback.
That was a good comeback. But yeah, it's just, I get fired up stats, but I get fired up because I love golf and I just got to call people on bullshit, man.
Agreed.
People to call me on bullshit and I'll try to support my point, you know, touche. Like when people come at me on Golf X or whatever, go ahead. You know, I'll give you my point, but I'll listen to you. You know, there's like some person said that you didn't hear the interview, but I was like, sure, I didn't hear the interview, but you got to be more media savvy, even if someone's bringing you down into a position. I mean, Tiger has been the most media savvy person pretty much of all the golfing world, and he's been pinholed in tons of situations, and he knows how to get out of it. And it's like, too bad for him. I mean, that's obviously how he felt about it. Or he wouldn't get caught in something like that. Or he would be like, hey, man, maybe I said that wrong. Like as he's talking, you know, maybe that didn't come out right or something like that. But
well, yeah. Moving on, because there's more LIV golf news out there. What are we calling him? The prodigal son is returned. I actually saw the LIV golf video they posted yesterday. I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I was like, oh, yeah, they're in Saudi Arabia. But then I didn't really pay much attention to it. And then I rewent and watched it. And I was like, oh, yeah, obviously Anthony Kim's back. And I sent you a message last night. And there's no knock on Anthony Kim. Anthony Kim's a great golfer. I worked AT&T National here at Congressional when he won it there. Quality golf course. The dude can play some golf. Excuse me. The dude can play some golf. I don't know what his golf game looks like now compared to what it looked like, let's just say, 15 years ago. But the dude can play. But what happened to his golf clothes?
I don't know. But is that just his new style? It's just he's going to come out with the like t-shirt and like shorts.
I don't think so.
I don't know. It's like Pat Perez was giving him crap on the range. He's like, "Where's your clothes, bro?" But I mean, I don't know, man. It's just like I think he's been just under a rock and just hanging. And
I heard this and they said Anthony Kim was negotiating. Okay, first of all, Anthony Kim, I don't think probably ever negotiated with the PGA Tour. No. They probably negotiated and said, you got to go, fine, you're going to go play the Corn Ferry and you're going to work your way back up unless you can get a couple sponsors exempts on a PGA Tour event. LIV was like, here's $15 million. You're going to be a wild card. If you play like shit, we're going to give you four events. If you play like shit after that, good luck. I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm. Well, they did supposedly give him exemption for the whole year is what I thought I heard. Like he has a wild card for the rest of the year. I mean, I'm sure if it's a dumpster fire, there's probably something in the contract that they could just pull that shit. But the hype has been kind of sweet. I mean, obviously the dude is a generational talent. The folklore and the mystery and all that have been there for a reason because the guy he showed glimpse, maybe not of Tiger Woods, you know, to come kind of person, but just glimpses of like your Rory Rahm type golfer. You know, it's just like he's just on another level. And he was able to compete with the best of the guys. He was able to put up what the most birdies in a round at the Masters. He won several times on the PGA Tour. He had a good President's Cup good record. Flair. Good flair. He was a Nike guy, you know, so it's just the swagger, all that kind of stuff. He has the swing, obviously. The swing is obviously still there. I mean, the dude is a talent. It's just we'll see what comes to be. But those type of people, I can't see him coming out and shooting like 85. Like he's going to come out and it's going to be either he's going to do really well, which would be awesome. Like if he's really been working on his game these years that he's been off and he's just being a dad or whatever his story is that he's going to come out with of what he's been up to over the last 12 years. Good for him, but it would be an awesome comeback story. But I do think generational talents like that aren't going to flop. Like I think once he gets back in competitive golf, the juices are going to start flowing. Just like he said, he's like out to bust people's ass. Like he's there to play.
I don't think he would go into this either if he didn't think his game was sharp to a certain extent. And I think he's probably always had it, but I also think he's probably fine-tuned his game over the last, let's just say, year and a half.
Right.
I mean, obviously nobody's seen him swing. I mean, I saw him swing on the range today and on the course, and I mean, I didn't see where the ball went, but the swing looks good. So I'm excited to see him play. They play, early tomorrow morning. No, sorry. Late tomorrow night, early Friday morning, like 2 a.m. Friday.
Yeah, 2 or 3 a.m. or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm excited to see him play. I mean, I want to see him succeed. And I will say that I think LIV probably is the best place for him. He probably doesn't want to play 25, 30 events. He don't want to have to grind as much as he used to. If he had all those injuries that supposedly he had, it's probably not good for him to do it. So if he plays in 14 events a year, he can probably manage, and they're spread out over, you know, a longer period of time. So I have no fault to him. I mean, good for him. He goes as a wild card, maybe gets signed by a team. Maybe somebody drops a player halfway through. So
maybe Rory comes in and captains the team. Cause I mean, it's just like he's softening up, or he's just playing with the media now. Cause he's trying to be Mr. Easy going now about everything.
I saw what Chubby Chandler said.
Who the fuck is Chubby Chandler? I want to know who the hell Chubby Chandler is. Please inform me and whoever the hell else doesn't know who the hell Chubby Chandler is.
Chubby Chandler, when Rory came on tour, Chubby Chandler was also his manager when he won the U.S. Open here in D.C. He was his manager and kind of a big Irish fella, just kind of stocky. And that was his former manager. He was in his sports management group. So I saw what Chubby said, and I was like, interesting. And then I saw what Rory said, and I feel like that's Rory playing both sides. But I don't know. After you said it to me today and I saw it, I was like, maybe. And there's part of me that thinks maybe he might entertain it, but there's the other part of me. And the reason why I said, you know, he removed himself from the pack and some other stuff. Or he truly feels that there's something that's going to get done. I mean, supposedly everything's going to get done before the Masters. That's the rumor. And we heard 3 weeks ago that there was going to be big news dropping at some point, and nothing's dropped. So
right.
Monahan apparently went to the Middle East and met with, what's his name?
Ramayan.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, it would shock me if Rory went. I still stand by what I told you the last time we were on. You could play a 4-round event with LIV, have 100 guys out, or even 90 guys out, play one round, cut them after one round down to 72, and then go from there, or 54, or whatever it is.
Right.
And I know I have another hot take that I gave you. I have to think about that. We need to talk offline about that, about the whole team concept that I sent you a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, I like some of the NASCAR setup and all that stuff. You're going to have to present that at some point.
I'll give you a little snippet. So I feel like you could, if there's a global entity, there's a global entity and you have the PGA Tour and LIV and you have guys playing on both, they're intermixing back and forth. You have guys that play in the signature events. You have guys that play in the LIV events. You have guys that play in the non-signature events or the lower tier events on the PGA Tour. Guys get drafted or they get picked and put on these teams. So let's just say the top 150 guys, and you put, I don't know, I'm not very good at math, but you put so many guys on a team, so let's say, I don't know, 10 guys on a team, 8 guys on a team, maybe it's not 150 guys, whatever. Maybe you have 8 guys on a team, you count 6 scorers, but those scorers aren't in one event. There are guys playing live, there are guys playing the PGA Tour, there's guys playing the lower tier events. All those, and there's like a point system. Maybe it's not their score, and they all count. You put those teams, if you have 20 teams of, or 15 teams of 8 guys or whatever it is, and you put them in divisions, and they accumulate those points throughout the season, throw in a couple of team events, one in the spring, one in the summer, one in the fall. Then you take your top 2 teams from each division. Maybe there's 4 divisions. Then you have an 8-team tournament at the end.
Right. And it's like your teams, Super Bowl kind of playoff teams, situation.
These guys could wear their team logo somewhere on their shirt. They could have other sponsors. They could also go out and seek endorsements for their team. Team TaylorMade, Team Nike, you know, team whatever. And then it becomes like F1 and NASCAR. And I mean, maybe not NASCAR per se, but it's like it's a true team event.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of, I heard something on a podcast and it got me thinking, and I was like, man, I was like, they could do a true team concept. I just think what I told you before, and you agree, that the live team format just doesn't do it for me.
Yeah. There has to be a little bit something more. And I think the thing like you were talking about is a similar format that you are talking, and having a bigger team, but maybe only a certain amount of, like we've talked about, only a certain amount of people are kind of active, you know what I mean? Cause like that forces the competitive drive. Like say Rory, you know, Anthony Kim, John Rahm, Caleb Surratt,
mm-hmm.
Patton are on a team, and Sam Horsfield. So like someone's benched for that week, like they're playing like shit and they got to like play a little bit better to get up on their active roster. There's just like, there has to be somewhat of like inner team competitiveness. It's not just like, hey, you're on the team, we're the Majestics, we're always on the team unless we play like shit the entire year and then we get relegated. There has to be some type of way that they can kind of hold themselves accountable and actually play good golf, you know, or be pushed to play better golf. Cause right now they're not pushed to play. Sure. They're pushed to be able, if they're not a captain,
right,
not get relegated, but it's not that big of a push, right? It's like, they'll get picked up by somebody else. Like it's happened, you know, Matt Wolf wasn't working with Smash and they're like, oh, we'll take you over at the Range Goats, that kind of thing.
I just did the math real quick. If you did 15 teams of 8 guys, that's 120 players. You're telling me you could have 15 teams of golf? I mean, maybe you do 6 guys.
Right.
So you have 20 teams and you have 20 teams and you do 5 divisions of 4 or 4 divisions of 4 divisions of 5. Four divisions with 5 teams in each, top 2 teams go to a championship.
Well, it's just like our heads are coming together, stats. This is like an NFL kind of situation. You got your divisions.
That's kind
of even thing too, is like you could have your regions of the world, you know, world tour. You get another Asian team, you know, you get the Asian teams, you got the Australian team with the South African teams, you know, in a division or something, like geographically, like closer people. That would be sick. And then they could just all bring it together some way. I'm not smart enough to figure that out, obviously. That's why I'm not the person.
I think I could put it on paper.
But yeah, just consult Shotgun Mulligan. We have some ideas. Just throw us a bone.
Hey, Greg, if you're listening, hit us up.
Throw us a billion of the Saudi PIF
we'll fly. I tell you what, Greg, you come into town because I know that you visited the DC area in the past.
He might have been visiting you. You never know.
You never know. See your boy CC stats. You come into town, Greg. We'll I don't need to host you, but we'll meet you. I got a nice place to go get a bite to eat. We can talk about it. We'll be consultants to live the PJ Tour, the PIF, whatever. I'll fly wherever you fly me. So
I got something to add. And this is a news. I made this segment because I enjoyed it
on moonshine the radio. Surprise segments.
Surprise segments, like, always come up with, but this one's stuck in my brain because I just laughed all the way down the road. It's Trackman, a text from Trackman. Okay. So we had this a couple weeks ago before Erica. Yep. Trackman weighing in on the things because he's still on the pod in spirit.
He is.
So go back to the asterisk. What did Trackman say? He said, Rory won't win with a light field. Guy's a bum. So he's just like, okay. And then I sent him the DJ Khaled interviewing Rory. Yes, Rory, why is swing so consistent? You know, trying to, like, just from an average golfer, pretty normal question. I appreciate it. I mean, it's kind of obvious why his swing's so great and it looks the same every time, but give DJ Khaled some credit. He's just trying to ask a normal golf guy question. He probably was a little nervous. Trackman's response, what a stupid question to ask. Practice, brother, and don't ask the donkey who hasn't won a major since he was 10. and then I replied with the story again, and he says, I hate Rory.
Yeah, and where did that come from?
The Khaled thing?
No, where did the Trackman hating on Rory so much?
Oh, he hates Rory. I don't know. He just has never liked Rory McIlroy. And I will give him credit. He has never liked Rory McIlroy.
Yeah, that's true.
He will never say that he's liked him ever. He hasn't.
True. He loves DeChambeau, though.
And then just to give us some props, our boy Trackman was the last one. Bryson said, we showcase ourselves in major championships. There's no way they can keep us out on a podcast. And he said, why is he on shit pods and not S&P? Y'all crush these fucks.
That's our boy Trackman, folks.
Text from Trackman.
You want to go text from Trackman. If you want to go back and hear Trackman on the pod, go back to episodes like 1 through 15, 1 through 20. He'll give you some good entertainment. That's our boy. We love it.
That's our boy Trackman. But going on from Trackman, text from Trackman will be a segment that will keep rolling because it just gives me some laughter to the week, you know, in the car. So, you know, support us. I've been, you know, I usually don't do self-promotion for us, but we've been enjoying doing this podcast the last 3 years. Whatever you can do to support the podcast, whether that's liking some of our posts, listening, engaging with us, telling us what you like, what segments you like, things we should talk about on the podcast. We're always open to that. Just DM us, DM me right on the Shotgun Mulligan podcast. Just me and Chris enjoy doing this for everybody. If you want to get in on merch or other things, we got the links to the Amazon. If you want to just, like, engage on YouTube, the stuff we post from our interviews, subscribe there. So we just enjoy this. But we also want to support other folks and also just, like, to support Acorn Hills that we're doing, a new brand. The gentleman, Nate, that we talked to is older than his age. I mean, the guy's awesome. Good kid coming up in the golf apparel realm, which I've just been enjoying seeing some of these cool young brands that have just done really well.
Casual and golf apparel.
Casual and golf apparel. He's got both, folks. Nate, he's coming out of Pennsylvania. You guys are enjoying this interview.
I want to ask you real quick, though. You know, there's a lot going on in the golf world, and obviously you're a golfer, and this is a golf podcast. And so we've had a couple of guests on lately, and what is your take on the LIV PGA drama over the last 2 years?
It's funny, right? Because I think PGA plays it off like LIV's not really bothering them too much. But when you look at the guys like Rom and DJ and stuff, these huge name guys that were the backbone of PGA for years when Tiger was injured, not up to his prime, you know, they kind of drove PGA there for a while. So now that Tiger's back, unfortunately, I don't know if he'll ever be back up to what he was.
Right.
Now, you know, age is a thing. But it just seems that the PGA is really clinging to Tiger now more than ever. More so like guys like him, JT, Rory, which, you know, I love JT, love Rory, but, you know, I think they kind of overestimated, or I don't want to say over, I guess underestimated the impact LIV would have on the PGA. I would like to see down the road just the kind of cancellation of LIV, but I'm telling you, if someone came and offered me $100 million to make the switch, it'd be pretty hard to turn it down. You know, especially if I'm a 50, 60 ranked golfer in the world taking home. For them, it's chump change, but for us, it would be small fortunes.
Right.
But you know, barely making ends meet. If I'm a web.com player, barely making ends meet. At that point, it just becomes more of a fact of a life decision rather than a golf decision.
Look at the young kid that teamed up, is on John Rahm's team, Caleb Cerati. Right. I mean, look at him. And he was playing college golf a month ago, and now he won the team event. And they won what, $3.5 million, $4 million as a team.
Exactly. Yeah. So,
yeah. It's a new option. Life changing. These young guys.
Life changing. No, I agree with you. I think we all probably, I think a majority of the golf world probably underestimated Liv. And Mark and I have talked a lot about this, and we both think that there are things that they do good and there's some things that they struggle with.
Yeah.
Do I think it's sustainable? I didn't think they'd last this long. So I guess I have to say, yeah, I think they're sustainable. But I think, from my opinion, and I know Mark agrees, I think we all want to see some kind of global entity that we all can enjoy to watch and bring back all of those players together.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, if you could, I don't know if it'll ever happen where you can combine the two, because you look at a lot of events that the PGA has that are quote unquote fun events, you know, like the pro-ams and father son and stuff. You throw a couple of those fun events in that Liv offers, even if they're just like, you even offer them like on a different day of the week. I don't even know, but somehow mesh the two, because there's definitely, it's a house divided. You know, there are Liv supporters and there are PGA supporters. And I just don't know why we just all can't get along.
Yeah, that's what I've been fighting for so long, man. It's just like, my strategy of what we've been talking about is like, they have to find some way to like merge the two in a way that's cohesive and beneficial to both. I mean, you're a business guy. So it's like, my thought was, you have these unelevated events that supposedly people aren't paying as much attention to. You throw some of these Liv guys into that, they get a chance to get their official world golf rankings. And then you have your elevated events with the guys that stayed on the PGA Tour that have a chance to get the bigger purses. I just feel like that's a way to bring them both together, but that's just me.
When are they going to have that tour for the 25 handicappers? That would draw some people in.
Well, they're trying with that event in Myrtle Beach. I mean,
I'm telling you, that's a niche there someone needs to cover. But it's funny.
Where are you based out of, bud?
We're out of PA. We're about 45 minutes from State College.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice. But yeah, we've been trying to get this together, brother. So tell the listeners a little bit about Acorn Hills, you know, golf apparel brand. Chris and I were looking into you guys more over the last couple of weeks. So just let our listeners know a little bit about you guys.
Yeah. So essentially, it's just me. I'm a full-time college student. I'm 21, freshly 21. I just turned 21 last week, actually.
Congrats.
Thank you. Yeah, all my birthdays are boring now. But it's funny because, you know, Acorn Hills was this idea I had kind of during COVID 2019, 2021, when I was still in high school. You know, I was always pretty infatuated with clothing and looking good and feeling good. But also, too, from where I'm from, where are you guys out of again?
DC area, like Northern Virginia.
Okay, yeah. So you're kind of familiar with kind of rural, not so much DC, but rural areas.
Yep.
You know, and being from PA, which is very cool, there wasn't a lot of like really high-end country clubs or big like corporate businesses and stuff. Where I was from is very country, very, when I say country club, like very emphasis on the word country. So you know, I grew up very much an outdoorsman, you know, hiking, fishing. I never hunted or anything like that, but just immersed in the outdoors. And like I said, I always had this passion for clothing. And I would always go in places like TJ Maxx or like Dick's or Golf Galaxy and stuff and just see all these apparel brands. And, you know, the apparel industry is a trillion dollar industry, if not more. And, you know, everyone talks about, you know, ocean plastic and all this plastic pollution stuff in the world, but no one really talks about the pollution within clothing. And when like these on the hang tags, the price tags are all made out of plastic. And when you multiply that by product ranges and product brands and stuff like that, I mean, that's a lot of plastic that no one really wants to talk about. So I had that idea during COVID, didn't really start it, wrote it down in a notebook, And I got the freshman year of college, and college was going great, but I thought, you know, there has to be something more that I can do with my degree, with my spare time. And I thought, well, if there's no time like the present to fail, I'm going to fail big, might as well be in college, or I kind of have a safety net. So that's kind of how I got my sea legs under me during kind of out of COVID first year of college, the start at Acorn Hills. Now, that was a very infant stages, the very, I guess I call it like the seedling stages. But so I started Acorn Hills. What I do that's different is I use recycled fabrics, which of course everyone's heard of, you know, recycled cotton, polyester, spandexes and stuff. But what's different with me is I actually use seed paper. And do you guys know what seed paper is?
Yep.
Yep. So for those that don't know, seed paper is essentially a decomposing waste paper that can be, you know, sometimes when they bake it, it's almost like a paste. And they put seeds in it, and then, you know, it's dried and stuff and flattened out. And then that, once it's in the ground, it'll decompose and you're left with the seeds and it'll plant. So my idea was taking that seed paper and exchanging it for that plastic hang tag you would see in the store, along with recycled fabrics. So when a customer would buy my product or buy kind of the Acorn Hills name, you know, they take that seed paper tag, they cut it off instead of throwing it away like normally a lot of people do that ends up in a landfill. Even if they threw that seed paper tag away, it's going to get planted eventually, just from a nature point of view. But people plant that green thumb. So that actually, funny enough, I launched January 1st of 23. Funny enough, that got the attention of USA Today. So I got an article in USA Today on March 15th, and then that actually gained the attention of the Weather Channel. So I went on the Weather Channel on April 12th. So it's all kind of like boom, 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 back to back to back. And originally I thought the Weather Channel one was like a phishing email. I like fished it because on my school email, fished it, and then it bounced back and it was a real email. And I thought, oh man, this is crazy, you know? So I started doing that April 12th when I was like Stephanie Abrams from the Weather Channel. I think they said like there was like 1.7 million or something like that watching. So it was crazy. Now at the time we only had three products. So it was almost like a double-edged sword. You know, we only had three products to offer the people, but it was just so much about brand awareness and getting the brand out there. So we had all this brand awareness and podcasts and different little articles and stuff. And that's really kind of how we grew, no pun intended. And, you know, I'm very proud to say to date, we've spent $0 on marketing. It's all been word of mouth and all been me, you know, DMing people on Instagram and just connecting with different people and country clubs and places like that. And I actually started doing a lot of, country club and pro shop retail deals. And I don't know if you guys have ever heard of REI Outdoors.
Yeah. Yep.
So on my casual side of things, I actually was in one of the REI stores in Nebraska for a little bit starting out. So it was like a lot happening within the first 6 months of, you know, kind of starting the company. And along with that, with that, you know, I worked three jobs here on campus, plus student athlete. I play college golf. And then sometimes I play the mascot. So, and then along with like 18 credits. So it's been great. Very fortunate.
Yeah. Nate, I saw when Mark told me you were coming on the other day, and I went on the Instagram and started looking at some stuff, and I had a little bit of downtime at work the other day, and I watched the interview on the Weather Channel. It was honestly well done. You literally put your name out there, brand awareness. You said it all. And I was telling Mark.
I had a beard back then. I shaved there last week. So, but you guys are the first pod I've been on where I've been kind of clean shaved. So
yeah, out of the videos, you got the beard going, the coffee.
yeah. I looked in the mirror and I thought, holy cow, I need to turn back the clock a little bit. So I shaved my beard.
But yeah, it's really cool. And obviously I from what I've seen on the website, the product, I love it. I think the Avalanche Quarter Zip, I'm gonna get me one here soon. And what you talked about with the cast or Stephanie Abrams and I don't know the other host, it was pretty interesting. And I think you made a good point and talked about it a few minutes ago, like the amount of tags that we all rip off of a hat, off of a t-shirt, off of a pair of pants, whatever, to be able to do that and put it back in the ground. And I mean, literally, I could think about three or four places in my yard that I'd like to plant some of the wildflowers. And then I saw towards the end of the interview, you now put QR codes on so you can actually see what you're planting.
Yeah, so essentially how it works is the QR. So I redesigned the tag. I believe Stephanie Abrams had the old tag, I call it like the original.
Yep.
But, you know, a lot of people were having questions. Well, okay, I have my tag, but I never planted something. How do I do this? So a lot of times it was, you know, okay, go to this site, this is what you do. And which was more than, I was more than happy to do, but I felt like I was losing a lot of kind of awareness that way. So I put that QR code on there, and essentially what it does is it takes you right to my site and it says, hey, this is, thank you for your purchases, which this is how you plant steps 1, 2, 3. This is the wildflower seed blend you're planting. And kind of, you know, that's all great. And I had this realization kind of 6 months, I wouldn't say 6 months, 4 to 6 months down the line, when I started doing it. And I thought, you know, you guys are doing your part, kind of buying the product and, you know, taking that tag out and putting it in the ground. But, you know, what am I doing as a CEO, as a leader, to kind of practice what I preach is this eco standard. So I actually partnered with the National Forest Foundation. I don't know if you got to see that or not, but we plant a tree for every order that's placed on the website. So that's kind of my personal way of, you know, practicing what we preach and kind of showing that, you know, we offer a very high quality product. Believe it or not, we actually manufacture and cut and sew at the same facilities as like the big three companies in golf. So, you know, it's a crazy, amazing product. You know what they're charging, you know, compared to what I'm charging. And it just kind of puts things into perspective. So I think we're kind of different in that way.
Well, the logo is killer. I mean, that's awesome. I love the name. Obviously, you're doing something right. The Shadow Oak hat sold out. I'm a big fan favorite of that. So, yeah, man, I think from what I'm seeing, and obviously, I think you're probably going to end up adding some more product as time goes on. And nothing wrong with starting a little smaller and kind of building to it. So you got me sold. I'm all about it. And I heard what you said. You talked about word of mouth. And I was driving to work this morning. A good friend of mine is the director of programming here in the D.C. area for the First Tee program here. And I said, look, I said, we're interviewing this guy and you never know who you might talk to. And her executive director, you never know. They might say, hey, give me his contact. So that way you guys could talk to him. So.
Oh, I'm very open to that. And I'm, you know, very capable of doing like custom embroidery and stuff like that. It's funny because I've definitely like, you know, we were talking about stuff early on starting out and like challenges and stuff I've faced. And that was kind of one of the challenges I faced was like, how do I take my knowledge of golf being from a college perspective and like, kind of playing and stuff all my life to kind of the other side of things. You know, I had to think as a consumer and I thought, well, what would call it or what would, you know, Nate buy or what would kind of turn my head? Because I'm a very, you guys don't know me personally. Hopefully someday you guys do. But, you know, I am very, I'm glass half full type of guy, but I will poke holes in a lot of things. If I can, you know, I look at things from different angles and my major's marketing, but my minor's accounting. So even though I have like the marketing kind of tip of the iceberg, I do have like the accounting mindset of numbers and analytics and stuff.
You got
so
to, yeah.
Yep. Yep. So, but yeah, it's been a trip. It's been such a great time.
We're talking to you tonight and learning more about your brand. Where can they get in touch with you? I know with like Instagram, Acorn Hills, but can you tell the listeners again, your website and things that to purchase from you?
For sure. You know, you can find me, as you said there, Mark, at acorn.hills on Instagram. And then my website is www.acornhillsco.com. And anyone that's out there listening, I'm going to create a code here for Mark and Chris, give you 15% off your next purchase. So that'd be awesome.
Appreciate it.
When's the Shadow Oak hat coming back in?
Soon.
yeah, that one's tight.
So that one, the Shadow Oak was one of our biggest sellers. This actually, I'm wearing our big, hands down biggest seller right now, the Blue Tick of all apparel, followed by the Blue Quarter Zip. Those two are just a deadly combo. They seem to just sell out quick. But I actually have, I guess I'll tell you guys, because you guys are pretty cool guys. I have an American kind of Patriot collection coming out soon. Oh, and that's going to debut a hat. So I don't know if the Shadow Oak's going to be your favorite after this one comes out. So we'll see.
Hey man, I'm a big hat guy.
Me too.
Hey, this is coming from the guy that made some golf balls for 1776. So I know I'm going to like the Patriot sections.